This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Ecker.
I'm Lisa Koenig.
And I'm Mike Murray.
The New York Times recently decided to dismantle its environmental reporting pod, as the Times itself describes it. It's a group of reporters and editors who were solely devoted to environmental reporting, and they worked with one another to develop stories and projects. The Times' green blog was also ended after 4 years. Interestingly, they announced that bit of news at 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, which we know is a good time to announce something when you don't want anyone to know about it. Lisa, you pointed this out to Mike and I, that this environmental reporting pod had been dismantled. Why does this concern you?
Well, it comes at a bad time because environmental news is becoming more and more important to the public welfare, with concerns about energy and climate change and sustainability. And the New York Times sets a lot of the news agenda in this country. So for them to be dismantling this team, I was really surprised. It's because of cost-cutting reasons again. They still have their environmental reporters. They're just going to be assigned to different desks, and I guess they're going to integrate the environmental stories with business and politics and the other sections. So let's hope they stay committed to it. They've done some important reporting.
Well, and it's always good to see a big news organization have reporters who specialize in something. And so, yeah, it is alarming when they take away that specialty field and those reporters who are devoted and who really are experts just on that particular topic. And we talked last week about how newsrooms are getting smaller and smaller. And I think you probably are seeing this even at local newspapers, where perhaps you had someone who was just the education reporter, but who now has to report on education and day-to-day type of stuff, and maybe has two or three specialty beats, too.
And environmental reporting has always been one of those specialty beats that was lower on the priority list after schools and courts and government. So you really only saw that beat at big metro papers anyway. It's kind of, sadly, it's been kind of an extra or superfluous beat, I think.
Right. And one of the things that's sad about a beat like that being absorbed or integrated into everything else is that, in the case of this pod at the New York Times, or certain blogs, or people who are kind of become renowned for certain kinds of commentary, the thing is they develop a sort of an audience that knows where to go when they want to find out more of that kind of information. And when that person or that group of people is absorbed into a news organization and reassigned and given other stuff to do along with what they originally came in to do, then people don't know where to go. And it gets to be kind of confusing for readers who become accustomed through habit of, referring to, a column by a particular commentator or a particular part of the newspaper or a blog or something like that. And so it throws the readers off and viewers and listeners in the case of TV and radio as well. So what it kind of depends on or the survival of that kind of information or access to that information really becomes dependent on the audience, how willing they are to go to the work of finding out that information on their own. Which I guess responsible readers and listeners and viewers do, but you can't count on that always.
This may also make it tougher for those reporters to know where to turn. Mm-hmm. Our morning edition host, Scott Stuntz, likes to quote a line from The Wire, and I'm going to mess it up here now because I don't remember exactly what it is, but it's something about how a newsroom is a place where arguments happen all the time. And when you have reporters working together in a pod, so to speak, focused on one particular issue, you can have some great debates and discussions, and I think it ultimately improves the quality of the reporting, the quality of the stories that you produce. Now if they're scattered about having to work on other things, some of those discussions might not take place.
Yeah, you wonder about the synergy that's being lost when they're not working together.
Lisa, I think, had mentioned to us the idea that there might be other places for people to return or to turn to for environmental reporting. What might be some of those places?
Well, the Pew State of the Media report that we discussed last time on the last show mentioned that there are new players or new services that are producing specialized news coverage that beat reporters would have generated in the past. And these are supported by non-for-profit foundations. And one example is the Food and Environmental Reporting Network. Another one that they mentioned some others that cover health and science and education. And I guess the Washington Post and NBC.com and other outlets pick up their stories. So at least that's one hopeful sign that we could still see some in-depth stories.
Now, you said earlier in the program today that the New York Times sort of sets the agenda, the news agenda. Could that be changing as we see new media developing? We're seeing these changes in the state of the news media. Might there come a time when the Times is not really setting the agenda, but perhaps it's coming from someplace else or from many different sources, depending on what the subject or issue is?
I think that time is here already. I mean, I think it used to be that a handful of big papers set the news agenda, and now that's not the case. I mean, their influence has diminished. But I think they're still the best paper in the country. I mean, the biggest, probably they have the biggest newsroom with the most reporters and the most resources dedicated to gathering news.
And, of course, many very good reporters, too, of course.
Oh, many.
Some of the best in the business.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the environmental reporting, because they've had a lot of complaints from readers, and they've been criticized in the Columbia Journalism Review and the journalism press. So we'll see.
All right. Yeah. I see that we are out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.